Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
How are you?
Great.
Good to see you.
You look younger. I wouldn't have figured out.
I'm getting younger all the time. I
The Israeli writer Edgar Keret was in town recently, and I wouldn't miss a chance to catch up with him. In The New Yorker, we've published some of his terrific short stories, but his most recent book in English, The Seven Good Years, is more of a memoir. Edgar talks about life and death, fatherhood, terrorism, politics, angry birds, prenatal yoga. It's as funny and as dark and somehow as sweet as his stories.
As a writer of fiction in Israel, I'd love to know, and I bet you other people would want to know, what's going on in the world of Israeli fiction? We usually hear, to be honest, the same four or five names for a long period of time. You're considered a young writer, and you're how old?
I'll be 50 this year.
Yeah, so what's happening in the fictional realm in Israel that we don't know about and we should and might soon?
I think that the biggest new name is Ayelet Gundar, who had written a novel that was very well accepted in Israel, and I think that it just came out or about to come out in the States.
What's it called?
I don't remember the title. I remember the story. I think it's better. It's about a doctor who by mistake hit and kills an illegal African worker, and basically runs away, and the wife of this, or the widow of this man, kind of extorts him to open some kind of a hospital, a illegal hospital in which he'll take care of illegal foreign workers. And it's about how basically this kind of encounter changes his perception and challenges his worldview, you know.
You've got a book coming.
I'm supposed to finish it by the end of the year.
And do you have time to read or see movies or do anything on your own lately? You've been writing a lot.
Well, actually, when I came here to New York, I came with my son, so I've seen the kind of stuff that would interest him too.
How old is he?
11.
What's his name?
Lev.
And what interests him?
So his English isn't that great, so we went to a musical. We saw Groundhog Day.
How was it?
Very good.
Yeah?
Very good. It's actually, it's the second...
Has he seen the movie?
I've seen the movie and really liked it.
Yeah.
The musical is kind of, is different in a good way, because the idea of making a musical based, on a film sounds like a bad idea. Or
It always sounds like a bad idea.
Capitalistic one, But it actually is different and makes sense, and it's the second musical I see in my life.
You're kidding.
The first one was Starlight Express.
Oh my God.
And I didn't like it.
Wasn't that on roller skates or something?
On roller skates. I was 10 years old.
Oh my God.
I really didn't like it, and I said to my parents, please don't ever take me to a musical again. And this was my second one, and it's kind of, I've seen the light. I've tap danced all the way back home, you know.
And no roller skates?
No roller skates.
I should tell you, just as a matter of information, the majority of musicals do not have roller skates. The majority.
No, it wasn't the roller skates that killed me. I think that there is something about it, about musicals, that usually, like, people there are amazing, you know. They know how to sing, they know how to dance. And so usually, like, they're so busy showing you they're amazing that you don't get any time to do anything else. It's like those people in American Idol that, you know, that have amazing voice and they can sing very well, but they're so busy singing very well that they don't really think what they're thinking about, you know. So this was my impression of musicals, like, you know, that you see it's like kind of a circus, you know.
Yeah.
But this one was really nice. Like, they, you know, they acted well, and it was even philosophical in a sense, because the premise is very philosophical.
It's the nature of time.
Yeah, and the idea of this kind of eternal repetition, you know, it's very Nietzsche. in nature, really, because this idea of, like, if you revisit something, what would you think about it, you know? And the thing about me, I'm the kind of person who usually, when I live so much in the present, you know, that I usually don't kind of take into account anything that I've done. So when I see this, I suddenly say, wow, like, you know, if I would have gone through that, maybe I too would have became a better person and knew better how to sing and dance.
And your son enjoyed it?
He enjoyed it a lot. You know, when we sat there...
Even though his English is not so great.
even, yeah, I think the story or the premise is very simple. And before we said, he said, Father, I just want to say to you straight, I prefer films. And when and I said to him, you know what, like, as a rule of thumb, I also prefer films, because when it's not good, it's really embarrassing because the people are there in front of you. And but when it's good, it's better than films. And yeah, when the show was over, he said, you know, Dad, you were right. This was better than a film.
Sometimes it's like I'm stumbling forward, hustled forward, jostled from behind by time. And sometimes it's like I'm being dragged, yet always lagging, trying to keep in time with time.
That's Edgar Carret. The novel he mentioned by Ayelet Grunder Goshen is called Waking Lions, and it was published in English this year.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.